Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Wide open for a touchdown, it's Colin Johnson. With an end zone. Touchdown, Chicago. Tommy Sweeney.
He's been in this offense. He knows the offense well. He's heard the verbiage. He understands the concepts, and you can see that. You know, he was throwing guys open.
Third down and four. End zone, why not? How about some more? Number 80, Colin Johnson.
Well, this is a big week for us. I mean, we have to really make strides here. We have a sense of urgency. You know, we have to get better now, and we got to see that from everybody.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast, sponsored by Circus Sport Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast, episode 89, live from Hallis Hall. I'm Kevin Powell, alongside Mark Carmen. And, Carm, we just wrapped up some pressers here at Hallis Hall, another practice. Let's get into, before what we saw today on the field, which was not very good from the offense, let's talk a little hard knocks. Initial thoughts on the opening episode of Bears Hard Knocks?
I mean, KP, when I get a She Caught the Katie on a Tuesday night, that did a lot for me. I loved the celebration of the city. I loved a little trip down the river. Thought the Flus was strong. The family was strong. A lot of FaceTime for Kelly and the kids. And
Matt Eberflus has a pretty awesome house. Got the in-ground pool. Had the staff over.
Yeah, super jealous of the Flus, living the life. And I thought, the Nick Saban moment was solid, too. You know, I think clearly brought in to kind of guide him along on how to handle Caleb, which is, you know, the biggest thing for Eberflus this year. And going forward, he's got to have that connection. He's got to groom him the right way, or else things are going to go south for Flus and the Bears. But Who was the guy who sang for everybody? I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah, the Canadian who Flus gave the nickname Eagle. Yeah, Canadian Eagle.
The Eagle, that scene I thought was.
They basically made they made rookies sing. It's what they do. Caleb had to sing "Ordinary," is it "Ordinary People" by John Legend.
Yeah, that's
it. And that was brutal, and he got kind of booed off. And then the Canadian kind of stole the show. He ended up getting injured in the Hall of Fame game, but I thought that was one of the highlights.
Theo Benedet, I hope he gets healthy, comes back. I thought the three dogs for Jonathan Owens, Rambo, Zeus, and Lilo. I took that note down. Pat Finley got a question in. Didn't hear a Kevin Powell. That was disappointing. Didn't hear a Mark Carmen.
I think I heard a Chris Emma.
Emma with making the cut. And let's be honest, that was a stunner. You know, Emma can be off the market at times, but he nailed it there. I was impressed. It was a big day for Emma.
Look, I enjoyed it. I think for Bears fans, this series has been going on for a long time, over 20 years, and I've watched a good amount, but I've kind of there's just so much behind the scenes stuff these days. I mean, the Bears have their own media crew. You know what I mean? They have their own kind of behind the scenes 1920 football drive. But the production is different, and they do a great job with HBO. When it's your team, it's must watch stuff, you know. And I thought the intro with the Bulls and Caleb walking out, that had to have get the juices flowing a little bit for a Mark Carmen diehard Bulls guy, seeing Caleb, who could be the guy.
You know, I buried the lead when Ray Clay popped up on my TV screen last night. I was like, oh, I wanted to jump in there and give him a hug.
The stuff I really like is because, you know, we're here at Hallis Hall. We see the practices. Sometimes you see a coach, you know, put an arm around the shoulder of a guy and you see them interacting on the field. We don't always know what's being said. And I think Eberflus talking with Nick Saban, and then they cut immediately to, you know, because Saban said, stand behind your quarterback, talk to your quarterback, be with your quarterback, never put him down in front of his teammates, all those sorts of things. And then they cut to it. And some good production work by the HBO crew, the Max crew. But it's Flus right behind Caleb Williams during practice. And then it's Flus interacting with Caleb. That stuff I really like because we're on the sidelines. Like, you don't know always what's being said on the field.
Yeah, and Flus is such a straight down the middle, it's just hard to get to know him. We don't. It's not like it was back in the day. Every interaction we get with him is at the podium, and here, so you're getting to see him in at least a little bit more of a relaxed setting. But even at his house, they're asked him, like, you know, what was your favorite part of your trip? You know, I would say like Cuomo, and it's like that's exactly how he would answer a question to us. So it's like this guy is consistent.
Yeah.
He's a pretty, you know, just coach, and that's his personality, which is totally fine. But yeah, the standing behind the QB thing. Let's go, Matt Eberflus. Good job.
Yeah, and four more episodes, and it will be must watch. I will say though too, like some of it we kind of knew about, right, because of social media, the slip and slide we had already seen. The Bears had shared that. And then they got to preseason play, and I thought seeing the family in the stands was pretty cool, but it was like, okay, we just watched this Hall of Fame game, which wasn't all that thrilling. But there also was a moment, and I'm not putting this on Schreiber, who does the narration, where it had something to do with giving Chicago Bears fans hope after Brett Rypien was kind of lighting it up and they came back to beat the Texans. I'm like, I don't think this game is doing anything for Bears fans. It's kind of nitpicky, but I did enjoy the first episode overall. I know all of us for the next four Tuesdays will be dialed into Hard Knocks. All right, we are outside of Halas Hall. Behind Halas Hall is where the practice fields are, and we saw an ugly one from the Bears offense today, I would say. And I think kind of from just gauging other reporters, it's looked more like this than the other way for much of camp where – and it is training camp, but if it doesn't look good, it doesn't look good, period. And I know there's some injuries, and it is camp and all that, but it was not a good day for Caleb in the offense.
No, and a quick behind the scenes here, the Hard Knocks cameras are moving, and there was a Bears press conference that was supposed to be going on right now. So maybe something right now is about to be documented that we'll see in episode two. But you know what? As far as today's practice, what's scary to me or weird to me is that I didn't have much of a reaction today because this is how it's looked. So I was like, they were terrible today because this is, you know, there was some moments where Caleb looked good and there were other moments where he didn't, and false starts were out there and getting to the quarterback, to Marcus Walker jumping up and down acting like the Bears won the Super Bowl. It's a lot of talking for a guy who I like, but, you know, has a ways to go to be, in my mind, that vocal. But whatever, his teammates seem to enjoy it. But the offense right now, it ain't there. I think there'll be moments. I think there'll be incredible plays by Caleb. But if you think the Bears are going to hit the ground running week one from what we've seen right now, I'm having a hard time seeing it.
And I will say this, too. If you're going to just shoot down – because, if you put on social media that the Bears offense looked terrible today, it likely will be Bears fans saying, quit being negative, it's just training camp. But I will say this, that last year's training camp, the Bears offense looked terrible for much of camp. I didn't see a whole lot of good out of the Bears offense last training camp. And what happened when the season started? It looked terrible. So I don't think it's something that you should just immediately dismiss because it's camp and you don't want to hear it. And it might not look terrible. You know, we still have a long way to go. They've been in camp a while now because of the Hall of Fame game. They started earlier than other teams. They do have a long way to go. But it absolutely is something we should all be watching closely, is how does the offense and how does Caleb Williams look during training camp? Because they're not just going to flip a switch on week one and it's just all going to work. Am I saying I'm overly concerned? I don't know if I'm there yet, but when reporters are telling you it doesn't look good, I'm telling you there's something there, because we saw this during the Justin Fields era, even though it was a brief one, that it doesn't look good in camp for a long stretch of time. That often, and even with Mitch's days, right, in 2019. I know nobody wants to hear it, and we do have a long way to go, and I still am optimistic about the offense, but we need to see progress out of this unit.
Well, that's why I've started asking the question, are you guys, like, looking at Caleb as sort of this long-term, you know, he's going to be here for, you know, at least five, hopefully 10 years, and it's not about, like, you know, fire-hosing him, get ready for week one, but just sort of on the gradual build. And
no, it's a good question, because I think when people ask me what's your win projection, I'm like, look, it all comes down to the offense and Caleb. I feel pretty good about the defense. But to your point, what is that expectation? Are you hoping? I mean, everybody's hoping we see a CJ Stroud-like rookie season out of Caleb. Is that realistic? Probably not, but I think the expectation should be there considering the talent he has around him and considering how highly rated he was coming into the NFL. But it is very difficult for a rookie to succeed. So, bigger picture, like, how are they looking? It's a good point by you, Carm. Like, do they view this season like Caleb should step in and we should be a playoff contender? Or is it like, okay, because he has reshaped his roster and it's a pretty good roster right now.
Right. And I mean, listen, you got a vet in Keenan Allen, and I was actually, we were doing the over 30 math, Rick Gregg, and I today. I think there's 8 guys on the team that are 30 over. So it's a young roster. But you do have, you know, a guy like that who's, you know, win now and pulls his expectation. Improve. Well, you know, they were 7-10 last year. So if you do improve, you're at least a bubble playoff team. So, but that's kind of like, if you were just me talking on my expectations for the Bears this year, I think there's going to be some really high highs, and I think there's going to be some really low lows, and they're going to be in that 7-10 window. You know, if I had, Vegas tends to get things right. 8.5 is the number. I think most people are taking the over. So, like, to me, like 8 and 9, from what I've seen so far, that can change. But from where they're at right now, this feels like a very fun 500 football team.
I think Bears fans are getting a little anxious to see Nate Davis out there. Missed some time last year. Today we watched him on a stationary bike for about 90% of practice, and then he was working the ropes and kind of just on the sideline, not doing a whole bunch, Carm. And Darnell Wright exited today with something. With where the offensive line is at right now as we record this, Carm, we should know more by tomorrow, Thursday, when Flus talks. But I'll put it this way, though. How much playing time do you want to see Caleb get in the preseason?
So I think he needs to play. And the reality is that you don't know if these guys are going to be healthy come week one. Is Nick Davis going to make it through the season? I wouldn't, you know, he played, what, 11 games last year. He's going to have to play behind a makeshift offensive line. Tevin Jenkins has never played a full season. The Darnell Wright thing's super concerning because, you know, that was one of your, in theory, rocks. Braxton Jones coming off a fairly serious neck injury, too. I missed a ton of time last year. So I just don't think they are going to have this whole offensive line. So to me, he wants to play. He needs the reps. The young guy's got to be out there. Jervon Dexter Sr. said today that, I want to play. I'm a young guy. I'm trying to figure out if I can, you know, what's the best way to be effective in this league, in essence. So I think he'll play 2 series, maybe throw the ball 4 times, something like that, and then hopefully they'll ramp it up from there.
Yeah, he's going to get playing time. Matt Eberflus has talked about the health of the offensive line dictating how much time he gets. I think it would be beneficial for Caleb to get some preseason time. Any other Carm observations from training camp so far? What are your thoughts on the media lunch they provide?
Yeah, you know, it's there. I'm not going to cry about the fact that the
Buffalo chicken wrap today, not too bad. I'd give it a C+, B-.
I mean, the best sandwich that's come out of here, it might be the Buff Chick. I mean, they did throw a Caprese salad in there, or Caprese sandwich today, which is okay, but the cheese is a little wet, so I'm not a huge fan of that look. There was a black bean vegetarian wrap that was horrible, but I did give it a spin. that was a rough day. Turkey, not bad. They got a little cranberry on there. I think that's probably my favorite. The ham, they doubled down with the bacon, so.
So do you think these lunches are coming straight from the cafeteria here at Halas Hall, or you think we got a third party dropping food off for the media?
It feels third party-ish. And, you know, what's the bread? Is that a ciabatta? What do they call that?
Ciabatta?
Yeah, that. Yeah. It's sometimes it's, you know, it's a little rough, doesn't feel
a little dry and rubbery.
Yeah, dry, rubbery, not fresh. So it's been tough for all of us, to be honest. And they did add a lemonade in. That was very nice. Kevin, Josh Rock, NBC Sports Chicago, was asked, you know, what else he asked all of us, like, hey, what, anything else you guys need? Schrock stepped up, needs some lemonade. Warren came through. But I have been going too much soda out here. That's another thing.
There is a Snickers cooler near the coffee pot in the media room, which on day one was filled with frozen Snickers. I think it's been empty since day one.
98% sure. I think there were remnants from day one through like day three. Right. But I think Cheryl Ray Stout took the last one, and there hasn't been or Adam Hogue, one of the two. And since then, there has not been there's been no Snickers, which is, you know, that's disappointing. But I will say, and you can speak to this, KP, better than me going to the games. The food option since Kevin has come in here, massive upgrade.
Kevin Warren, I know listeners probably don't care at all because they're not in the press box, but Kevin Warren has elevated the food scene in the press box at Soldier Field, where it was rough, Carm. And last year was pretty good, and I think they've got a new vendor coming in that should really amp up the food scene. Another Mercedes just drove by. Just to set the scene here, we're sitting right in front of the entrance, the main entrance to Halas Hall. Players parking lot just west of us, Carm. And how much total money, total value of cars do you think we have in there? Because that was another highlight from Hard Knocks was Jalen Johnson's little...
What was that?
I don't know what it was. But there are some expensive cars in that lot, and then you have like the media regular lot on the other side of us.
So 50 times 50,000, 2.5 million. That's probably 250 grand. Is too light, and there's 90 of them with training camp. So 4 million, 5 million, somewhere in there. A lot of dough. I'll give you one football.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Keenan Allen is as friendly a wide receiver to the quarterback that the Bears have had in a long time. That dude has been open every single day. And I'm not saying he's going to go past DJ Moore in amount of catches this year, but I think he's going to be awful close. I think that guy is going to be music to the ears of Caleb.
He had a couple of looks where he totally burned the coverage, and Caleb wasn't able to get it off in time because of the pressure. But I love the DJ Moore contract extension, too. He's totally earned it, and they're in good position right now at the receiver spot. A 2.4 six-wheeled
Mercedes
truck just drove by.
That 98% certain is DeMarcus Walker, because I saw him at the Costco gas station in that vehicle. And so unless
did you really?
Yes. So and it was before the Hall of Fame game. Like, they were leaving that day, and I see him there. I'm like, did you get cut? I was like, you're not going to the game, basically? And he's like, no, I'm just filling up right before. And it seems to me that he might have just made his Costco run, and now he's back. And that thing's probably, what, $140,000, that car?
It's like a G-Wagon, but a pickup truck, and it has six wheels.
And it's a Mercedes.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I'm not the financial advisor for these guys, but I'm always just like, save your money. Do you really need that?
Right. Get a nice car and drive it into the ground. Okay, any quick final thoughts, Carm, on the Bears, what you want to see at Hard Knocks, anything before I let you go?
Well, I appreciate them trying to do a storyline, but I'm not dying for the Brett Rypien, Austin Reed deal. Let's get in there and let me learn about, you know, some. Where's Sanborn? I'd kill for a Bajan. I wouldn't mind a Tremaine Edmonds. A lot of storylines here for them to go to. I hope they'll hit on some things that they didn't touch in week one.
Been fun. Beautiful day here at Halas Hall. That's Mark Carman from CHGO and WGN Radio, and this was the latest episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. Thanks to Brian Altimer and Ernie Scatton for their help producing the podcast. And thank you for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.